There was an announcement I should have made at the beginning, and I forgot, so I'm going to make it now. And that is that this coming Saturday, we have our Advent retreat. And it looks amazing. It's the story of five women from the genealogy of Jesus and meditations thereon. So there will be an opportunity for art and contemplation and conversation. Please come along. There are details at the back if you want to find out more. And the other thing is at the back, if finding out about that doesn't tempt you enough, there's cake to celebrate as we celebrate Pat's baptism with him here today. Okay, I can't put this off anymore. Many preachers have a problem with Trinity Sunday. Some have a difficulty with preaching on resurrection and the resurrection appearances and what they mean and the literal nature of them or not. Others wrestle with the incarnational theology of John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, etc. For me, my problem Sunday is this one. Not the baptism, I'm looking forward to that bit. But this Sunday, as you probably know, is the reign of Christ, the last Sunday of the church year, introduced by, and I had to Google this, Pope Pius XI, in 1925 as something called the Solemnity of Christ the King. And it was there to close out the lectionary year. So we're at the end of year B today. Next week on Advent Sunday, Advent 1, we start on year C. And it was soon adopted by other lectionary-based churches such as ours, including Anglicanism generally, although here in Canada we have slightly adapted it and we've called it in a semi-inclusive way the Reign of Christ rather than the Festival of Christ the King. My problem with this, and it was called to mind by the last verse of the hymn that we've just sung, the one about God being ineffably sublime. The role of a preacher apparently is to F the ineffable. So here we are. My problem with this is that we have so quickly moved into a picture of God who is the kind of king that we see. A God who is powerful, a God who controls, a God who dominates. I've mentioned before the image of the Christinator that some people seem to have, and certainly it's attractive to many people, a sort of all-powerful super being just waiting to come into the world and wipe out evildoers. And by evildoers, what we mean is anyone who's not like us. It's certainly an attractive picture to many people, as we can see by events not too far south from us. As the last part of Isaiah cries, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. If only God would come and sort all this out, stamp around with some kind of royal authority, bash a few heads together, make everything all right, particularly for Christians of a certain type." But the message of the reign of Christ that we see in our scriptures and that we see in today's readings is a very different one from a Christinator. And it's all around this theme, one that John and I and others, Pam and others have tackled before, the theme of power. Power is important and interesting. But it's a tricky thing to talk about in the church. We worry about people who seek power and influence in our daily lives, in our work, in our family dynamics, in our part in the church, or in other organizations we're part of. We get worried if people seem to be power hungry. But actually, power isn't a bad thing in itself. If you need to get something done, the concept of power is simply the ability to affect change, to make something happen. It's not a bad thing if we need to get things done, if we need to have influence, if we need to, as it were, gain some traction. For a long time, we've been so afraid, clergy particularly, ministers particularly, have been so afraid to talk about power and resisted the idea that we have any kind of power. We're quick to say, but we are just servants of God and of the community. As if we're just following the will of God all the time. But to ignore the power and authority that my position gives me, or indeed that any of us within a Christian community have with one another, is often to allow it to break out in unexpected and destructive ways. Each of us in this community is called to recognize the power that we have to effect change. And the power that we have on and with one another. To acknowledge that when our colleagues, our friends here in church share their feelings, their concerns, their fears, their hopes, we have a responsibility to take care of them and with them. In the church, we share responsibilities. We are, as the writer of the book of Revelation says, together a kingdom of priests serving our God. So what does that mean for our use of power between us and in the world, in this wider world? What does today's passage from the Gospel of John say to us, or offer us by way of guidance as to how we might understand and use, exercise power appropriately? Well, first of all, Jesus always questions power. And in today's exchange with Pilate, we have a very good example of that. When confronted by Pilate with the question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus asks, "What's your agenda behind asking that question? Is it you, or has someone else put you up to it? Or, as the exact quote says, did you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" I've said it before, Jesus must have been really frustrating to try and have any conversation with. Because every time you ask a question, he either asks the question back, or he tells you a story, or he gives you a parable, or some form of teaching, but very rarely a straight answer. Anyway, Jesus in this case, as is often the case, responds to Pilate with a question, refusing to be drawn into Pilate's power play in the way that Pilate or those behind Pilate would wish. And Pilate replies with some frustration, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Pilate wants to draw him back into this conversation about what Jesus' power is. What is he king of? What does he dominate? Where does that come from? And why is there such a strong reaction against it? But Jesus replies with another game-changing statement. "My kingdom is not from this world." The authority Jesus carries, and perhaps authority is a much better word than power, the authority Jesus carries does not depend on the way that we see authority. It doesn't come from votes. It doesn't come from military might. It doesn't come from being born king. It is something from the very heart of being, the heart of the divine. Jesus' power, Jesus' influence, Jesus' authority is characterized not by dominance, not by being in control, not by defeating enemies by force, but by truth. The truth of love. The truth of the divine within all people. The truth of service and faith and hope and justice and grace. When we talk of the reign of Christ, we're not talking about a place or a time where Christ is king in the conventional sense. The metaphorical language in our Gospels and the book of Revelation may seem to suggest that, but they are metaphors. The reign of Christ is much more subtle, more transformative. It's not something bounded by time or place, but is a state of being, a dynamic, world-changing way of living and loving and serving. It transforms the very fabric of who we as Christ followers are and the way in which we are to interact with one another and with the world around. In this reign, true power is found in questioning power, in speaking truth to powers that be, to respond to issues not just by trying to help the needy or those in the grip of poverty, those excluded or vilified by society, but to ask the questions that say why we live in a society that depends upon food banks and temporary shelters. To ask the questions about why we have inadequate provision for addictions and mental health, for those who are struggling to pay bills or find housing. To ask questions about why people are excluded, and to push back against the exclusion of anyone due to race, religion, gender, or sexuality. In this reign, true power is found in working towards reconciliation with all people, not in a white, mainly male, cisgendered, heteronormative privilege. In this reign, true power is found through service of one another, of the poor, those often qualified, classified as undeserving, of the excluded, the refugee, the homeless, the hopeless. In this reign, true power is found by working for the well-being of the earth and all that God has charged us with stewardship of. In this reign, true power is found in lives changed by love and grace, where people are open to forgiving and being forgiven, where people are healed and receive peace, where love is the motif and the foundation. Jesus describes himself as the one who has come to testify to the truth. And all those who seek the truth, all who are open to the life and the love of Christ in many and varied ways, in the many and varied traditions and religions of this world, in the many and varied expressions of love in human relationships, all are listening and responding to the voice of Christ, living the truth, the essence of the divine. And this new way of seeing and being, this transformation, comes with a calling for all those who seek the way of Christ. This reign of Christ belongs in the heart and begins in the heart and soul and is carried through to every part of our lives, spiritual, social, emotional, physical. We are called to reject the way in which power is used and misused in the world around and speak with the voice of faith. We are called to name those things, those ways in which power is wielded that may be detrimental to any and speak out against abuses of power. We are called to be those who are people of peace and service and grace and love. The reign of Christ is about doing things differently, not out of fear or because there is a God person who is eventually going to turn up and set things right, but because in the message of Christ, we see the way to the true use of power. Power to heal, power to love, power to give, power to welcome and to include, to be people of God. Jesus says, my kingdom, my power, my influence is not of this world. It is of a different order with a different purpose, that all might be empowered and know the fullness of life which comes from connection with the divine. May we each seek and find that power, that grace, and that life. Amen.